catch you going fishing all the time. He'll be going fishing too. Hey, Leaf.
Yo, Deputy Dizzle Dazzle. How you doing?
Well, other than just deciding that I'm not going on the fall trip to the top of Lake Chelan. Yeah, kind of whiny, but yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, no kidding. But you'll go.
Yeah.
And really make me feel bad.
Oh, man, I will rub it in your face.
That's okay. That's what I need, apparently.
But yeah, you know, holy cow. The river has been a heck of a lot of fun. But before we get that far, I should... Say, man, a picture I saw looking down at Chelan from McAllister Pass, a girlfriend of mine, Heidi. She is just awesome mountaineeress. She's always getting out there, getting after it. Also just a great gardener, so I love checking out her posts. You know?
And
she was up on top of McAllister Pass, and I didn't realize how flat and broad the top of that pass is. I've always wanted to go over. That's like one of the top two or three favorite ways for me to want to go over. I was just up South Creek, which is McAllister's at the top there of South Creek. We were talking last week. I was heading up to my buddy's mining claim. Checked that out. Did some tenkara fishing, but on South Creek, some cute little fish.
How big is that, South Creek?
It's, you know, when you get to the end of Twist River, it splits in three, and it's the biggest of those three. The end of Twist River itself would be in the middle of those prongs, and if you were looking upstream, to the left would be South Creek, to the right would be North Creek, and right up the middle would be what's left of the Twist River, which you can pretty much straddle at Road's End.
Are there places you can jump it?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I would say South Creek, like I say, is the biggest of those three pieces of water at that point. So really beautiful creek. I've had a lot of adventures up there on both sides of Crescent Mountain. I just really like the area. I had my sights set on possibly getting up to Mosquito, but I knew it was, you know, kind of small fish, and there was a reason for it being called Mosquito. And after kind of hanging out, having a little too much fun late into the night with the guys, I just decided to keep it around the creek and checked out a few nice pools on my way back down with my buddy.
Oh, that's my favorite thing, man.
Yeah, it was super cool. And just beautiful, beautiful little native cutthroat on the tenkara rod. It's hard to beat it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just really enjoyed that and really look forward to doing some more backpacking. I just cannot stress enough how I appreciate this weather.
That's what I was going to say. When the weather gets like this, man, it's a
just a
great little portal into Wonderland.
No smogist, no smoke.
Yeah.
You just don't take it for granted after the couple seasons we've had. So it's just been a full season. I can see a lot of us are kind of getting a little tired. Like we're actually getting tired from just pushing hard and having fun, burning at both ends.
Yeah. No, I've had to rest the last couple of days.
I don't know if I'm
days.
Speaking out of turn, but...
No, I'm with you there.
Yeah. So anyway, just been a lot of great fun. I look forward to squeezing a bit more in before the snow flies sure. The river's been fishing super strong. I know a lot of people, especially new to the town or new to watching our water levels are like, man, it's really low, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. This is exactly what it always is.
Good.
So it's not any surprise whatsoever.
Good.
There's rocks that I have seen 3 inches out of the water at this time of the year that are still 6 inches under, so easily.
No worries.
So, yeah, we're right there, and I expect we will kind of get through the end of September, and then I just hope we see those October rains. If you can see some nice rains at the beginning of October, then that kind of starts to reset the flow of things and recharges the river and gets things, you know, to where we've turned the corner for those fish. But right now, I'm still doing a self-imposed hoot owl, not necessarily always because of the temperature of the river, but definitely that too. But, you know, just the angle of the sun will really start to put these fish down.
That's really what it is. I mean, we've never really had warm nights much.
No,
at
no.
all. So it cools off every night, but the sun is still pretty straight up.
Yeah. And so they don't like that. Yeah. And it does heat the rocks up, and that does heat the water up. And so the combination of what warming there is still happening, while it might not be lethal, it still, definitely affects their attitudes. I've been starting out the morning as usual, like I always like to do, with some dry flies and using that just like I always do as much as possible. And then, you know, you could either nymph, or I also like to do just soft tackles. If you're going to go underneath, you can extend your day another hour or two. And I still am wrapping up at about 10. But boy, there's a big difference when you're starting at 5:30 is great right now. I mean, it's the perfect light. There's no real direct light at all. There's some ambient light, and the fish are very bitey for that first hour. It's
that's a fun time to be out anyhow.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, big difference in that 5:30 until about 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Doable until 10 o'clock. And then, you better be making plans to get off there by noon just to be nice to
them. Well, I'm glad you're encouraging folks to knock off at an earlier time. I mean, truthfully,
why not?
Well, there's a bit of a dilemma every time we talk about going fishing because, like, are we going to just crowd the trails? Are we going to crowd the water?
Right. I know.
But on the flip side of that, possibly we are doing that, but we should also just say, here's how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Don't stress the fish.
Yeah.
Here's how you can, you know, just be a more appropriate out there.
And, you know, I see crowds out there. Like, you drive up past Blue Lake and people are parked out onto the highway.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of good in a way. Some people just want something that's popular and easy and they know there's no surprises. Mm-hmm. And that's probably good. Take some of the pressure off some of those places where we wing nuts like to go bushwhacking and see no people.
Yeah.
And holy cow, speaking of bushwhacking, a little aside, I saw footage of a grizzly bear at that bushwhack lake that I went into about a month ago.
Where is it? Remind me. I can't
up there
remember.
By Rainy Pass, somewhere in the vicinity, we will say, of Rainy Pass.
So somebody got a...
Yeah. And it wasn't collared or anything, so I don't know if it was like a newly released bear. I'm sure people are going to be like, it's the government, you know. But let me assure you, the government is not capable. No, they're trying. They're trying. But it was amazing. You know, having grown up here, having seen, I mean, one day when we were chasing the cows out of the gardens with our bikes and slingshots up Libby Creek, I know I saw six or eight different bear, moms, cubs, different, you know, adults in these different fields. From one end to the other, you'd know there was no time for the bears to have moved, and you just knew they were different bears, and we were covered up by the smell of the cows we were chasing. So I've seen hundreds of bears almost now in my entire life here.
Sure.
And this was so much different. Not only could you tell it was bigger, even though it was a ways away from where this person was, but the color was super blonde, it was super shaggy, and it had a big old camel hump, and it was the size of a freaking bull. It was giant. But it was still sitting there grazing through huckleberries, and he also had footage of a mama black bear and her cubs across the valley from that one. And I mean, it was clear as day. Hey, holy cow. So,
you know, I know people get upset about the, you know, the big predators or big carnivores coming back in, and truthfully, you know what, I get more upset about human beings coming back in.
Me too. I mean, they don't go leaving a bunch of plastic garbage and you know, taking each other out for no reason. Usually there's a reason if they're doing it. And you know, I mean, well, love them or hate them, I love them. If these animals can make, I'm kind of one of those guys where I'd like to see them make them back on their own, and definitely encourage them when they do. And it's so remarkable in the case of the wolves here and the moose that they've been able to do it. I have not seen the elk be able to really rebound.
Well, we keep picking them off when
they open a season. But so I don't know. It just it's done remarkable things in in Yellowstone. I mean, for the streamside willows and stuff, because the elk can't just sit there and overgraze the stream. So then your stream is more shadowed, and it's cooler water. So that benefits your fish, benefits your insects. The insects are flying off, benefiting the birds. The birds are. It's almost as if you can't like take the piece of the food chain out you don't like. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Call me crazy.
No, it's the canary in the mine shaft kind of a deal.
Yeah.
If it's a good sign that they can make it on their own. And
that's,
I agree. Otherwise,
right,
you've got kind of a
fish
hatchery situation, and you're not quite sure, is it healthy out there or not? Because, I mean, you don't want them to go extinct, and so you might have to do hatchery for a while, but I'm always super interested, are the wild coming back?
Yeah, and you know, it's like maybe those, say, in the case of black bears, they've filled in the niche a little bit that grizzly bears had occupied. And
for sure,
I wouldn't want to just completely, you know, just set them out of that niche, you know, super abruptly. So I love seeing it when they can do it on their own. Not that I'm not an advocate of, you know, responsible management and trying to work them back into their home habitats. But back to fishing.
Yes, back to fishing.
You know, we're coming up, we're peaking right now on golden stones. It's evident by the shucks all over the rocks. And that, as well as the October caddis coming up, which hasn't really started to pop, is a mainly evening thing, bookended in the morning and afternoon. So you can still, when there's been a great evening hatch of them, it'll be evident on into the morning for a little while. And if you're fishing, as it starts to get cool here at the end of the month and in September, you'll start seeing them popping off as the just as the light's leaving the river. You'll see big bugs going by and big slurps. So be looking for that. You know, be looking to be able to do dry flies until the water gets underneath 55, 50 degrees. And so that's going to take till through most of the month of September. Other than that, like I say, you can do some nymphing. October caddis is what's coming up. Golden stone is what's peaking. So maybe concentrate on those or some little soft tackles like I like to do. But I also wanted to present you with something from our buddies over there at Drift.
Waders.
Because I think you're going to look darn snazzy in these, my friend. Jeez. They're the new ultralight.
I was going to say, these are like a fraction.
Pretty sick. I've been wearing mine the last few days. I love them. They're just super light, but, you know, totally waterproof, totally bomb-proof. And, you know, I like the pants. I don't like wearing waders. We always talk about not wading deep. It's dangerous.
I don't want to go deep anyway.
So I usually average about halfway up my shins with what I'm doing. Unless I'm crossing, then maybe it's up to my knees or thighs. So I thought you might like the same ones as me. Give them a little test drive. I think they'll be great.
And Sonian boots.
Yeah, you got your little booties, and we'll hook you up with some boots. I know I've got some old ones laying around in your size.
Sweet.
So you'll be ready to shred the rest of this fall and go skating with me.
Here's Here's how you spell Drift. DRYFT.
Why?
Because
they're awesome.
They are awesome.
Yeah, it's not dry fit. I have heard a lot of dry people. Fit. Although it does keep you dry, and it does fit. Great. I like them because they've got stork sizing. I've got a 36 inseam, but I kind of have some childbearing hips. They're still somewhat big, but I am slim but tall. And they've got every size. Like they've got talls and regulars and all that. You have to order at driftfishing.com. You know, they're not in stores, but that also makes them cheaper. Those are only a couple hundred bucks, man. They're better than their competitors, and they're cheaper.
My waders, honest to God, are probably from the 50s, and they weigh, God, like 40 pounds.
Yeah, well, we're going to have you styling now, man.
Patches all over them.
So, yeah, I want to thank our sponsors over there, obviously, in Bellingham, local.
Yeah, man.
Clothing makers, Drift, great guys. Going to have them over here in a few weeks to do some skating bugs with me.
Cool.
And I also want to thank the folks over there at North 40 Fly Shop. Looking forward to their OMAC streamer slinging rod coming out here pretty soon in the fall, which will be perfectly timed for Rufus Woods and for the Omak Lake stuff that we like to do there too.
Ooh.
So everything is coming together as planned. Now let's
it's a wonderful world.
Let's just make sure we stay in touch there. If anybody ever needs some fishing tips or would like to book a trip and what's left of this great month coming up, I do recommend it. I do have a couple openings. And you can always check out the blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. You can send me an email at bedhowfishingadventures@gmail.com. And you can give me a call the old-fashioned way at 509-429-7298. Take care of each other and take care of this world we live in while getting that fish right on, baby. He was going fishing and my mama's going fishing and the baby going fishing too.